Blog Talk Radio.
Life is like a big merry-go-round. You're up in there. Everybody's been counting you out, but where are they now? Sitting in the same old place, just faces in the crowd. We all make mistakes. You might fall on your face, but you gotta get
girl, Lush live in the building, man, and everybody's a conqueror, and we're live in the building, and it's Friday, baby. We got a special edition of Lush Radio Online, and we're doing Pray for Baltimore, because Baltimore has definitely been going through a lot of turmoil, a lot of different things recently in the news. Freddie Gray, a young man, was killed in a duration of time dealing with the police when he was under custody. His throat was crushed in, along with his spinal cord, had a spinal cord injury. They finally did the verdict today, which they ruled as a homicide. And within that transpiring, before that, Baltimore was in an uprising and an uproar where the people said enough was enough. There was rioting, looting, but the people of Baltimore are trying to put the city back together. Tonight we're going to talk about your thoughts, your feelings about these events that transpired. So call in at 347-826-7722. We're also going to have Mr. Donnie Glover live on the show, along with Boots, who is actually in the trenches in the streets of Baltimore, reporting to us and telling us what's going on. And we're going to go ahead to my co-host, Sandra, who's live in the building. Hey,
what's
Sandra,
up?
What's poppin'?
Hello, hello. Happy Friday. You know, glad it's Friday.
For real, definitely. Oh man,
yeah.
it's definitely been a lot of things transpiring this past couple of weeks, actually.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
It's been crazy, again, my heart goes out to Baltimore. You know, we're praying for Baltimore. We're praying that justice is brought to those six officers. I truly hope that everything works out, and I'm very proud of the mayor, actually. And I'm very proud of the prosecutor as well, and I'm proud of how they're handling it. Hey, black girls rock. What can I say?
Mm. I don't know. I called it a failure. My bad. I called it a failure. I just feel like she didn't, execute certain things that she should have had done on time to protect certain individuals. I feel like certain things were protected, and some of the innocent bystanders who could have protected, or some of the shop owners they could have protected, but they chose not to.
It's very true.
It's all about very their true. Priorities on what they want to deal with and protect.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people who don't, that are listening and stuff, that don't know the history of Baltimore, Baltimore was actually one of the back in the day was very a rich community. A lot of thriving black-owned businesses were there back in the day. Now it seems like history is repeating itself because we had the same kind of disturbance happening a long time ago in like 1960 something. It's 1968. Same situation happened. Through the duration of time of the evolution of Baltimore, as they grew, you had so many politicians and different people that made promises to Baltimoreans, and a lot of them have lied to them. These people have been, you know, if you go down to Baltimore, the people shouldn't be living like that. You have so many abandoned buildings. You got D.C. right down the street, which is prosperous. They're rebuilding all the time. They're not rebuilding in Baltimore. You have black, white, Hispanic, and they're living in poverty in the same place that the president's in. And I can't blame the president because this goes to this starts at the local. It's the chain of command. It starts in the local. These politicians are not going out, connecting with their community, connecting with the people, asking them what they need. You're taking away their, after school programs, YMCAs. You're taking so much from them, not providing opportunities for these kids, and they're lashing out. And they've taken it for years. Their generations have taken it for years. And now these younger kids decided that they can't take it anymore. Yes, I don't believe in violence. And, yes, I do not believe that, some of these store owners that's been there for years that might not even come back anymore because they're just distraught right now. I don't believe that that was fair. But at the same time, change comes by willing or by force. And sometimes in some situations, you might need force just to cause change, you know. And if you ever watch the V is for Vendetta, the V says if the people knew how powerful they were, you know what I'm saying, they could stand up to the government. And we saw a display this past couple of weeks that the people have a voice, you know. They will be silent no more, you know. And Philly also joined into the battle and the struggle, protest and everything like that. The thing about it is that also we have to be accountable as media ourselves, you know. Thank God for the internet sometimes, because sometimes the media on TV can depict what they want to and portray people in a negative manner versus actually portraying the other positive side so people can see what's going on. Okay, yeah, why are you constantly showing us burning buildings constantly back and forth to drill in our head that Baltimoreans are animals, savages? No, they are not. You have people that are working, business people. You got people that are going to school. You have some educated people there. Don't classify everybody as that situation. And also, the looters were not just African-Americans. They were white people also. They were all different races that went inside those shops and took things, okay? And also, the Baltimoreans are trying to police their own people because Baltimoreans know their people. You know, they stood out there in the line. One of the veterans, he's an older veteran, I think his name was Valentine or something, and he actually stood out there with the love line to separate the protesters from the police, you know, to show that there is love in Baltimore. And you can see some of the elder gentlemen and people in the police, people out there actually, you know, sweeping up the community. They want to rebuild. They want change. They're crying out for help. And, you know, this attorney that they have on this case, and see, people get it twisted. If you don't know the story of Baltimore, you don't know exactly what's going on. They've been oppressed for so long. You know, this is retaliation. Like, if you keep on starving an animal, what are they going to do? Become a savage, and they're going to unleash their rage. There's been bottled up so much, and they opened up the cap. So this is what's happening with Baltimore. It's beyond the Freddie. That was the tip of the iceberg. Freddie Gray situation, unfortunate that it is, but yet and yet, so many people have died. I mean, from Trayvon Martin to Mike Brown to so many different people, even before these kids that have died in the past because of racial profiling and police brutality. And the thing about it is, racial police brutality, yes, it's with African-Americans, but they didn't also show the pictures of the other white protesters that were over there that the police were slamming their foots on and pressing them down to the ground also. You know what I'm saying? But you always show this, but, like, you're doing this to everybody. You're racially profiling everybody. The police brutality needs to stop, point blank. You know, there's no way around it. You know what I'm saying? What's your thoughts on how the mayor, you know, dealt with the situation, and your thoughts on this attorney right now?
Well, you know, I thought, you know, like the mayor, you know, she did the best that she could. She used the best of her judgment. You know, she allowed the people to protest, but of course, you know, she did not condone or expect any burning buildings. You know, no one does, and no one condones that. You know, it's going to be a few stragglers out there that's going to be of the violent mind frame and just, you know, take this as an excuse to steal stuff because, you know, you clearly see it. Even on camera, there's even one guy that got a bottle of wine. You could tell he don't even know what wine he got. He was just walking and looking at the bottle and just... no, seriously, like, it was like the news, the CNN dude was talking, and in the background, you just see him walking out, looking at the joint, just running across. I was like, really, though? You don't even know what kind of bottle you got. You just grabbed the bottle just because, you know, it's people out there, and unfortunately, she cannot control everyone, you know, but she did what she had to do, you know, and, I really can't fault her or, you know, this is something big that no one has dealt with, you know, especially being, you know, a black woman and being in that kind of, you know, forefront. You know,
if we say black woman, black this, black what, it doesn't matter what race. When you get into a position of power, you need to be prepared for
matter,
any situation.
But if she was more in tune
with her community and went out there before
I totally understand what you're saying in terms of she was, you know, beforehand and all that. Yeah, you know, the first night when she gave a press conference, yeah, everyone was talking about, okay, how she looked and all that extra stuff and, you know, like, you know, they were all saying because she didn't look as if she cared, but, you know, that was her first press conference. Then the second day, you could clearly see that she has been under a lot of stress. You know, like I said, she handled it as best as she could. You know, and I'm very, very proud of the state prosecutor because she wasted no time at all. You know, she looked at the evidence. You know, again, there's no way for a person to fracture their vertebrae and break the spinal cord. Like, it just doesn't make sense by throwing themselves, you know, in the van. And then the police report is contradicting what the person that was in the van was saying. He even clarified and gave a news report that he didn't tell him that, you know, he was throwing himself around like he was trying to hurt himself. He never said that. He just said that, you know, he hurt someone on that side, but he never heard him trying to hurt himself or, you know, he didn't see anything. So I think the prosecutor, you know, she did a great job by jumping on it. She did a great job by seeing that, first off, it was an unlawful arrest because he had nothing on him, nor was there any drugs on him, nor did he have any warrant. It's just they made eye contact, and that's it. Because they made eye contact, instead of running, they chased him down, and then the knife that he had on him was legal enough to carry because it wasn't long enough to be considered dangerous. It was one of the short blades that he had on him. So, and then they put him in a van. So, you know, again, she looked at all those things and she put everything into perspective. And it's not about, with her, one thing I like is it wasn't about, okay, he's a black guy, you know, I'm trying to get justice. No, it's about what the case and what
it's
was
the law.
Presented to
exactly.
her. Right, and
the
what was the law,
was
you know. And then she didn't take time like Ferguson took forever. You know, at some point you already knew that the cops are going to get off in the Ferguson case, the way everything panned out. But here she didn't allow that to pan out like that. She just, you know, went by the law and stuck to her guns. And I'm very proud of her, you know, for sticking to her guns. And, you know, everyone keeps saying, okay, she's a rookie, she's a new. Yeah, she is a rookie, but that doesn't mean that her judgment is not as good as those that have been there long enough. So, but I am very proud. Like, I'm proud and, you know, happy how she did things. And she handled it very good. You know, the mayor, again, she did as best as she could. But I think the prosecutor kind of calmed things down and made people fall back.
Retrospective, like, okay, let's think about this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I mean... for those who truly were into the cause of really finding justice, you know, it kind of could ease their mind a little bit, but this needs to continue on. Wrong, just there needs to be, people have to like deal with this whole police brutality. Like, there has to be repercussions. You know what
Absolutely,
I'm saying?
Like,
they have to
Everyone
now,
deals
you,
with
I mean,
that.
they need to have psychological evaluations of these police officers, you know, one, you know. On top of
right.
that, you know, they need to retrain some of these police officers on force. Certain situations, you have to depend. Like, you're a police officer. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like
right.
you're going and you're doing, you're not over there and you're dealing with demolition, dude. You're not out over here dealing in Iraq war. You're not doing with suicide
right.
bomb. Yeah, you should be prepared. But you know when and when is not a situation. There's some people that have an itchy finger, that are just gun happy. They're going in
mm-hmm.
and have a bad day. They want to take it out on a suspect. Or they're bored and they're like, oh, I need to take somebody down. Or, oh, I need to fill my quota.
Or
like, some things are not even worth it.
Or some people that are truly racist and just, you know, they're truly racist and they get into the police force as a cover-up, you know. So, I mean, it is, they do need to go through an extensive training. That's what I believe. Like, they have to go through an extra. They have to also go through racial. I think they should implement some kind of racial training because, you know, again, it's a lot of police profiling out here, you know.
Exactly,
not
and not
for,
every black person is the same. Not every Asian person is the same. Not everybody
right.
that you think is right. And if somebody has an accent, don't automatically just, you know, categorize them or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Get more information before you determine how you want to do. And then body language depends on stuff, too.
And,
like,
and,
come on now.
And I
you
always
have common
tell
sense.
People as well, learn the law. Read up on your law. Go learn
exactly.
your rights. You know, read up on your
exactly.
rights. Because, again, that helps a lot, diffuse a lot of things. Because if you know your rights, a cop cannot just basically search you without a probable cause. You know, again,
exactly.
they take him down and ran him down. To me, I would have like, no, you know, that's to me.
And another thing,
total...
this guy was not resisting arrest at all. So
uh-huh.
why are you chasing this man down for? He did not resist arrest because, see, we
it's,
have things
didn't
that have gone
have
on.
Any, nothing. He didn't have any warrants. He didn't have any drugs
exactly.
on him. He didn't have anything.
Why
so
did
was...
you, what, that needed, we need explanations on why. What caused these people to do that? And then on top of that, okay, we need to also for the assailants or just people in general, we need to have education. What is causing these police officers to profile us? Is it something we're doing that is causing you to say we're provoking you to do this? Like, what is it? You know what I'm saying? Is it just because of the color of the skin? Because what provokes you to do these sickening things? What provokes you to take somebody's life? What provokes you to just decide that you're God today? What? I mean, it makes no sense. That could be any one of our brothers, any one of our sisters, anybody. And it's not just limited to black men. They're out here yanking grandmothers and yanking women out of here, stomping them.
Mm-hmm.
There was one police, I think it was a state trooper, he was beating this woman on the ground. She was pregnant. When does it stop?
It's just, you know, again, it's just the more attention that is brought to light on this, the more, you know, the more people are going to start noticing and the more it's going to be taken into account. Just again, just like this one, you know, it's the prosecutor, she saw everything and saw that there is a case that they are wrongful and everyone, and then another thing, and I'm proud of her because people don't realize it's actually three of the officers that were charged are black. So it's not about race to her. It's about justice, you know, because if people want to say race, then if I could see if all the cops are white, but they're not white, three of them were black, three of them were white. So it's not, you know, like some of those officers, you know, it's crazy to say, but even the black ones, you know, the black ones that you think will be looking out for the black people, you know, will be the one that is doing the most antagonizing and, you know, because for some reason, I just think it's some generation thing that they grew up in, you know, like they practically program their mind that if you live in a certain area, you're automatically, you know, ghetto, or you're automatically a thug, like they say. You know, if they come, because I'm like, it's some people that live in a nice neighborhood, you know, that go to work every day and come back, but that's just the place that they can afford, you know. And but because they live there, they get profiled or cops, just like you said. You know, they pull you over, they think you're doing something, or because they used to, you know, dealing with a certain black people, they see a black person, they automatically think, oh, they all act like that. They all got something on them. Because I know I've been there before where I've been pulled over and I've been harassed by a cop. But thank God I know my law, because I'm my rights, because you're just not going to try to search my car for no damn reason or ask me, do you mind? I do mind that you searching my car. What's the reason?
Oh.
You need a warrant. I will wait for you to get a warrant for you to come and search. Yeah. And that's what people, like, that's what I always say, you know, you got to read up on your rights, because if they say, do you mind? Yes, I do mind. You can't just, do you mind? No, you don't. For what? If I have my license, registration, and insurance, there should be no question. I don't care. Give me a ticket. I'll take a ticket and go. But you're not going to search the car because, you know, whatever probable cause, if I'm not doing anything, you can't say probable cause. Like, you know, now they could say probable cause if they smell, you know, weed in your car, or if they see an open bottle of liquor. Now, that's probable cause. But if there's nothing in plain view and, you know, you have everything, your papers are straight, they cannot search your car, or say, can I, or do you mind? Yeah, yeah, do it. Like, I've gone through that. So, yeah, you're right. Like, I really think that they do need to, you know, go through some extensive training, because, it's not just the guys that it's happening to. It's happening to females. It's happening to grandmothers. It's happening to mothers, you know. I just think that they're not blatant enough to shoot a woman, because then all hell will break loose. If this is a woman that we're talking about, none of this, all this extra would not even, it would have been worse than this, you know. So I think that for some reason they terrorize the females, but they take the anger out on the black man.
Listen to this. This is some breaking news. Remember the alleged prisoner that was inside of the van? He's apparently breaking his silence. This is actually reported from CBS Baltimore. The other person, I guess they called him in for the investigation. The other prisoner inside was Dante Allen or so. And he said, I'm Dante Allen. I'm the one that was in the car with Freddie Gray. Allen says that the one who the police could call, the second prisoner in the van, the second prisoner who was picked up said that he didn't see a harm done to Freddie at all. Commissioner Anthony Bates said what he said is that he heard Freddie thrashing about. But Allen wants to set something straight. All I did was go straight to the station, but I heard a little banging, like he was banging his head, he said. Wow. He tells WJZ he's angry about the internal police report published in the Washington Post, and they are trying to make it seem like I told them that I made it like Freddie did that to himself. Allen said, that's sick.
Absolutely.
Why would he do that crazy mess to himself? Allen was in the van because he allegedly stole cigarettes from the store in North Avenue. He was never charged. Instead, he was brought straight to the police station. I talked to the homicide. I told homicide the same story Allen said. A story, he said, is being distorted, and now he fears being killed. I had two options today, right? Either come and talk to y'all or get my credibility straight with y'all and not get killed by these, you know, explicit words, or not tell a true story. Allen added, the only reason I'm doing this is because they put my name in a bad state.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, anyone, I actually read about that earlier, I totally understand him, you know, I totally understand where he's coming from, because and that's another thing that the prosecutor looked at, because, again, they're making it seem that this guy said that, that he hurt himself, you know, like, come on. That's not what he's like, all the things that we've seen.
How can your throat be crushed by yourself? How can you have spinal cord damage by yourself? Somebody explain that to me.
And that's why
there's too many loopholes in this story.
And that's why it was ruled a homicide. The way he died was ruled a homicide, and that's why, you know, the charges was brought, because his injuries, they say that his injuries are those sustained in a car accident. It's identical to those to that sustained in a car in a head-on collision or car accident. So, and again, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way you can toss yourself. Mind you, you're handcuffed. So how can you toss yourself and do all that? And then the cops, they made three stops, three on-recorded stops.
Exactly.
With him in advance. So why didn't you guys call in those stops? Because by law, you're supposed to call in every stop that you make if you have a criminal in the van with you. And they did not do it. They didn't call in those three stops. They didn't call in. And then how are you going to pick up a criminal? Because you guys were so caught up in that you don't messed up. You let him go. And the whole time CNN was checking, the system was showing that he was locked up the whole time. He wasn't even locked up. He's been out this whole time. So it's a lot of... And then now the police union, they requested a private prosecutor, which, of course, was denied. So now they're saying, you know, that she rushed to judgment. And I'm like, no, it's not rushing to judgment and the cops didn't do anything wrong. It's not about Russians and Jim not doing anything. They did do something wrong. There's a dead guy. There's a dead black young man right now that no one is explaining to us. So there's no way you can tell me the cops didn't do anything wrong because he was last seen in their position, in their possession, alive. And he was last seen. Next thing they dropped him off, he died. Like, come on. He died a week later from his injuries. Like, this is, to me, I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, like the cops. This is just one of those that you're like, wow, they cannot get away with this at all. Like, this has to be brought to justice. A lot of the cops have been getting away with it. You know, Ferguson was just a slap in the face. You know, Mike Brown, that was even a bigger slap in the face because the guy got famous off of that. So, yeah, you know,
another thing, update. Six Baltimore cops in custody. This is reported by News One. The six police officers are in custody for Freddie Gray's death right now at the moment. Also on top of that, Freddie Gray's parents said that they're satisfied with the judgment, that everyone should basically cease fire. I guess Nation of Islam is speaking on their involvement with this whole situation. But Philly had joined in, and also on top of that, you know, we also know that, you know, the gang members, the Nation of Islam, I mean, Jews, it wasn't even matter what race or creed, Baltimoreans came together. People don't understand that Baltimore is a melting pot, actually, of, like, you know, different races. So they all came together to just say, you know, enough is enough. But I don't know, Sandra.
That's crazy. You know, I just hope everything, I truly hope that they see this through. I truly hope that, you know, that you know, justice is brought for Freddie Gray's family, because this, again, a lot has happened. A lot has been going on with this cop getting away with this. I don't think it's fair anymore. You know, I think that this is, this is, to me, they need to show that, hey, this is not okay. You know, this is not okay for you guys to be doing this. Maybe if they brought some, you know, charges to this officers and prosecute them, maybe this can be a lesson for other officers that, you know, might be doing this or have plans on doing this. You know, this can be a lesson for them that, hey, if you do this, you're not going to get away with it at all.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes somebody, I'm sorry, unfortunately, somebody has to be an example.
Absolutely. You know, you have to hold someone accountable because this cannot keep going without anyone being held accountable. It's just, to me, it's no. You have to hold someone accountable because you can't tell me that these cops are innocent, you know, that, come on, this is blatant. You know, this right here, you know how everything else that has been happening, you know, with the whole Ferguson, you know, it was not clear as this. It was not clear as this. You know, so Ferguson, it's okay. People are saying this, people are saying that, but this here.
I mean, Ferguson was kind of shoddy. We didn't really know what to go on, but this was point blank in your face. There was no denying this one.
You know, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I'm truly, you know, happy that charges are brought. I'm truly happy that, you know, these cops, that they are in custody. I'm very happy that, you know, that this is moving forward. You know, this is moving the way it should. And just and even as they show the video, you can still see him, you know, you can see him, and you can see him still moving, and you can see him saying something, you know. And then when you guys dropped him off, he was unconscious. He was almost at his
mm-hmm.
deathbed, you know. That to me, yeah, you know, if someone has to explain what happened. That's the main thing. People owe the world, and people owe Baltimore, these cops owe Baltimore this explanation of what happened. Why was their three stops made, and why wasn't those stops reported or recorded, and why wasn't it anything said until, you know, later on? You know, like, it's a lot of clarification that they need to do, because there's no way you can tell me that they're innocent, or the police union can say, oh, they didn't do anything. No, something happened. Somebody knows something. But, hey, you know, in due time, we're all going to find out.
Exactly. And the thing about it also, the thing I know about Baltimore also, Baltimore has a lot of cameras on their streets, okay?
Uh-huh.
Baltimore got cameras on their streets. And ever since that, you know, the drug situation was big over there, they done put cameras all over the place. So they got cameras. They can
absolutely
look at them the cameras, where they picked that boy up and what happened or whatever and stuff. So, you know, something happened there, and it's too many loopholes.
Mm-hmm. It's too many loopholes,
yeah.
That, you know, again, you know, we need answers. You know, the Baltimore people, Freddie Gray family especially, they need answers, because, again, you don't lose a child like this. You know, that your child wasn't, I could see if your child was doing anything illegal, you know, or, you know, had drugs on them, or just disobeying the law, doing something illegal, doing something that will make you go, okay, well, he was wrong now, but he didn't do, he was on a bicycle, okay? I mean, he, you know, he wasn't running, he was on his foot, he was running on his foot. You guys
no,
on
the
bicycle,
cops were on bicycles.
Right, the cops were on the bicycle, you guys on the bicycle, you looked at him, he looked at you, and he takes off running. And you chase after him. What do you think any black kid does when they look at a cop and their eyes cross? They take off running.
They're going to run. I mean, because you're killing people.
That's an automatic. Okay, he's about to mess with me, because once he look at you and you look at him, that's you know he's going to mess. I mean, that happens to all of us. If you cross
exactly
eye with a cop, he is going to mess with you. Even if it's been to me,
you're already
been
a suspect.
Right.
But
on that
note, Sandra, not to cut you off, we got our special guest live in the building to call in to talk to us about what's going on in Baltimore right now. We have the one and only Donnie Glover live in the building from Baltimore News, Baltimore historian, author, journalist, and he has more information about, you know, why the Baltimore people are, you know, retaliating. And, you know, he's been out there in the trenches. Hey, Donnie, you there with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi,
can you
Donnie.
Hear me okay?
It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here. Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
So
Donnie, tell us, you've been, what's up? You've been out there in the trenches, man. What's going on out there, man?
The youth of Baltimore and Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby banged Jim Crow in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
Baltimore has sent a message to the entire nation and to the broader world that you can't treat people any old kind of way. They kill that boy. You need,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a, on my fan page on Facebook, Donnie, D-O-N-I, Glover, there's a clip of a Baltimore youth. You have to see it. You have to see it. And on Be More News, we have an interview with an elder who led the first sit-in in the nation. This is from yesterday. You got to see it. You got to see, you know, when CNN called and told me the news, I told them that the African American in Baltimore is the most resilient African American on the planet. That's just how I see it. Those kids banged Jim Crow in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the state's attorney, you know, just the fact that she charged them, just the fact that she charged them, powerful.
Yeah.
They've been beat. You got to see the little kid, the little, nobody does. We have failed our children. We have failed these youth. I've been writing about it, and there are a lot. There are some other soldiers. There are definitely some other soldiers who did not give up. This is a victory for them. This is a victory for those people who were fighting when people told us to shut up, when people say you ain't being a good Democrat and all that bullshit. This is for all of them people who died and got kicked and beaten and locked up under Martin O'Malley and his mass arrests. This is for all of them people who died and suffered and got locked up. This is a victory for people all across this nation, black people and other people who have been wronged. And as soon as you say something, I got family who cops. Wrong is wrong. They're good cops. You know, there are a lot of good cops, a lot of good cops. These obviously did something wrong.
Exactly.
Jim Crow got banged in the mouth. Jim Crow got banged, not in the mouth, in the mouth.
Wow. That is crazy. But, you know, for those people that are listening, since you're a historian and a Baltimorean, and, you know, you definitely have been an activist for just, you know, spreading the word for people and empowering people. For those that don't know the history of what's been going on with Baltimore, because some people think it's the Freddie Gray thing. But they don't know, you know, the history and what's really been going on over there because they don't report it.
Baltimore has a powerful history. However, we have had some spineless black elected officials who were bullied for 15 years by Martin O'Malley, who now wants to be president.
Well,
the leader that was in place, he died. 15 years is a long time in the black community. So many things change. Champions, national champions fighting for black people. And so the ones who went into place, they just didn't fight. These kids fought. And I'm not advocating violence, but those kids were the David with rocks against Goliath. Speaking
exactly.
truth to power.
Exactly.
You got to see that little boy's clip on the fan page. You got to see the little boy. The teenager articulates the struggle. You got to hear it. Because he's not coming from a victim perspective. We are not victims. We are victors. We always knew it. It's just that the people who were put in place to represent us have failed us. Too often, too many black people in position who can help have failed.
Speaking of failures, Donnie, the mayor, your current mayor out there, your thoughts on how she handled the situation?
Who knows? The world just finding out. But that's a call for another. I had to give you some, but they calling. I love you.
Okay.
Baltimore
right.
loves
I love you.
You.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Thank you, Donnie. I appreciate you, man. That's what's up. We had Donnie Glover live in the building from Baltimore News. Definitely check him out. He's on Facebook. And he's definitely always an activist and definitely doing a lot of things for Baltimore. And, I mean, he was telling some real stuff. Like, I mean, politicians, political officials are not doing what they're supposed to. We wrote an article about it. You can log on at www.letsreadingonline.com. So I'll pray for Baltimore. And we just said how many people have to die before we get answers. Like, you know, it's getting ridiculous out here. Like, I mean, you're scared to even have a child in this world now because if you have a son, is he going to be profiled and killed right before your eyes, you know? Are you going to wake up tomorrow and hear a phone call that they killed your child, you know? Like, it's scary.
Your husband might be going to the store.
Exactly.
Your boyfriend might be going to the store and just don't come back, you know, and something happened. They get caught up by it because their cops said, or, you know, it's just, yeah, it's scary out there, you know? It's, And that's not right to make people live in such a scary mind state, you know, because then you make people feel like they have no power when you guys are around, and that's how the power
exactly.
feel. Like when they talk to you, they make you feel like you don't even have a college education. Like sometimes they even tell you, oh, don't talk, don't look. Oh man, like they get very cocky. Like they really do need to be trained. They get very, very cocky when they pull you over. Like, I don't know what that badge does to them. But whenever they put on that uniform,
I don't know. I think they were like either picked on or bullied when they were younger, and they're taking it out now that they are in a position.
Right.
Of power.
And again, let's clarify. This is not all cops. This is some of the cops that are out there.
No.
The ones that and the ones that I have encountered, and the ones that you have encountered. You know, unfortunately, the ones that the black people encounter most of the time, it's not a good experience for us because. You know, people think that, you know, black people, that we joke about, oh, when you see a cop, you better straighten up, turn your music down. It is not a joke. We really do that. Like, we really straighten up, turn to you, because you don't want any attention, because you don't feel like you already know what you're going to go through, and you already know, you know, the BS that they're going to put you through. So your whole mindset
exactly.
is just trying to avoid the confrontation as much as possible with them. You know, it doesn't even matter, white cops to black cops, Spanish, it doesn't matter. The ones that are not well educated on race, and the ones that think or that, you know, that got bullied, just like you said, in school, now they want to be a cop and want to take it out on everybody they see that they think in their head doesn't look right, you know. Because even for me, sometimes you go out there, you know, the cops are looking at you. For me, oh, I've been looking back at them because they look at you, you know, they expect you to be scared, and that's how they start harassing you. But I've refused. For me, like, I've learned my lessons by, okay, you cannot be scared. You need to go read up on your laws, so when a cop gets to you or pull you over, you can know your law. And when you start spitting your law to them is when they start acting proper. Because, I've had the incident where I wasn't even a driver. I was in the back seat, and we got pulled over, and you know, immediately the cop comes over, and the cop, you know, mind you, it's a friend of mine. He's a younger person, and he has his cousin in the car. And the cop immediately tells him, oh, that he saw him trying to put something in the glove compartment. I was like, oh, no. I'm sitting here, and he cannot open the glove compartment first, because you don't have anyone. He can only show you his registration, license, and insurance. And if it's straight, and if he doesn't have anything, you can't search the car. You know, the cop actually told me to mind my business in the back seat and not to speak, which I refused.
Wow.
Because I'm like, no, I know my laws and I know my rights. You cannot tell me not to talk. I have the right to speak. I could talk. If you could sit here and write a ticket, and I could talk throughout it, and I still have the right to express. It's freedom of speech. That's what it's called. You cannot just tell me to be quiet. No,
exactly.
I'm expressing myself, because you cannot. And again, he doesn't know his rights. So he was about to be like, oh, you know, chill. And I'm like, no, you cannot do that, because he see you move your hand doesn't mean that you put something there. No. And he cannot say, no, let me see
exactly.
you. No, he can't. No, that's not right. So, yeah.
Called
after
again,
top,
you
yeah,
know.
They really do need to, you know, go through this extensive training, because this is not right. Like, it's too many black people, especially black men, dying off of the hands of the cop alone. Like,
exactly.
You're not even safe anymore. Not only do you worry about your streets, you worry about your neighborhood, you worry about surviving, you worry about the cops. There's so many people to worry about. Like,
Andrew, we also
yeah.
got another caller. A caller from the 667. Live in the building on Let's Radio Online. What's popping?
Hey, 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 what's up? It's Hood Punishers DVD Magazine coming to you live from Baltimore City in the middle of Vietnam. What it do?
What it do, sis? It's a pleasure and a blessing to have you live in the building with us, sis.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Happy to be a part of this session right here.
Well, you're live in the trenches. You're out there with the Baltimore people, man. What's going on? What's the feeling? What's the mood right now after the verdict, man?
Well, the feeling is just superb. Like, it's no other feeling. It's like the World Series type, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bittersweet because to me, I'm telling you how I see everybody else. Everybody else is happy, go lucky, tooting their horns, you know, screaming, just rejoicing in the middle of the street like it's, you know, a festival or something. But the reality of the fact is, you know, they're not, put it like this, they're not convicted, okay? They've just been charged. So no different than Rodney King and anybody before them. You know, a charge is a charge. Conviction is a conviction. So I'll be ready to celebrate once at the end. They celebrating now as if, you know, we really won something. I don't know.
Definitely. You're right about that.
Absolutely.
You know, so. Now, on top of that, before, you know, we got the verdict and everything, what was the tone down there in Baltimore when he was out there in the streets?
Oh, before the verdict, they was ready to burn some shit up. Excuse my friend.
Wow.
You know, they was ready to light it up. So I feel as though what happened was they, because they know how Baltimore is going to give it up, they had to say something. They had to do something to just hold us in our tracks. You know what I'm saying?
What I've seen is that the Baltimore people are relentless. Like, they're not giving up for nothing. Like, if you don't give them what they want, you're not having that in that city. Baltimore people ain't playing no games out there at all.
No, they not. Not even a little bit. So, let me tell
It was marvelous, though.
But what CNN and them is not showing you is how everybody is really getting together and rejoicing. It ain't all violence. It ain't all what they trying to portray us to be here. You know, shoot. You had people, roller skating teams coming out there putting on a show. The band that came out there. You know, these are the things the TV is not showing. You know, you had the Michael Jackson impersonator come out there just to keep the morale.
I seen that one.
Huh?
I seen that, and I seen when they was looting, some dude was like breakdancing on top of a van. I'm sorry, but it was funny. I was like, what is going on?
Yes,
they just
shit up, honey. I'm telling you,
they was
that's how it goes. I'm like,
now the deep issue I had with because you was out there in the trenches. Now they got my brother's part of National Guard. They mobilized him out there. But I've seen other people. Now, I've been in the military. I've seen other people that are not National Guard out there, okay? It's some people out there that's using, that look like mercenaries out there, look like they was ready to shoot to kill. Them weapons were not military grade that I've seen in the picture.
Yeah, not everybody who's out there military or anything like that. Not everybody. There was a lot of other people, like other groups that come together, like the 300 men. Different organizations that was coming out there policing the scene.
Now, did you see that one situation with the one gentleman? He was a young man, and they were peaceful, and then he threw something or whatever. Now, the people of Baltimore were policing him, but I guess all of a sudden one police officer came and they just riled him, and just the other people that were trying to protect the police officer, they sprayed them too. Right, all these people with mace.
Yeah,
and
the police was kind of disrespectful. It was kind of
disrespectful
from the beginning, but then when they seen how, you know, first things first, you can't shoot into a whole crowd, you know, and they don't know who's doing what. So what they can do for that is spray mace and don't care who it lands on. You can see the blood in their eyes. They was ready for us. But because they could not use deadly force, did we win?
Exactly. But they're not these people that are trying to clean up the area and stuff like that. You know that Mr. Valentine that was out there, the veteran, disabled veteran out there, you know, trying to, you know, help with his love line. We also were heard that Wale, because, you know, we were having issues about, you know, the celebrities. I mean, they came out with Ferguson. They came out with Trayvon. Where are the celebrities at when it came to Baltimore? because it got real for them. They said Baltimore was too real for them. They said, oh, nah, I ain't coming out there. Where's the support from the celebrities? I ain't seen not one. Okay, Bow Wow in his crib chilling, like, yo, pray for Baltimore. Your man, what is his name? Ray Rice, what the one that that played for the Ravens or whatever. I see he was mad about his statue, but he ain't really go out there and step in. That's your spot, dog.
Right, right. And
like, what are you doing?
All right, this is
crazy, man.
It's a, I did want to add on to that. Huh?
Hello, yes. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm here with Boots. We put Hood Punishers.
Okay, this okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Who is this right now on the line with us, babe?
It's me, Boots and Nappy.
Oh, hey Nappy, how you doing? Your thoughts on
Fine.
That, Nappy?
Well, I was saying, well, I
go
did
ahead,
see that Carmelo Anthony, he did come down. And Ray Lewis sent a message, you know, but my whole thing is I'm thrown with this because it seems like we are so conditioned to a point where as soon as somebody destroys something or burns something, you know, everybody's calling in. They not here. They not in the trenches. Like, I came up in East Baltimore, West Baltimore, in the same trenches. I just moved from where they doing all the protests at on Pennsylvania, North Avenue and Fulton. I was living there for 2 years, so I know a lot of the residents and natives around there, too. So it's like, that, you know, people saying, now what they going to do? They burnt down their stores. They burnt down. Let me tell you, let me be one to speak for the people. They don't miss those things one bit, you know, and this was the corner that they protesting on. It was really high drug traffic. You could go there and find anything under the moon they were selling. You know what? Last night you could smell cookies baking in the air. So at the end of the day, you know, as long as we have those things as a crutch, the liquor stores. One guy said, you know, at one time you come in Baltimore, oh, it's 2-3 liquor stores in a block. It's a liquor store in every corner. It's a liquor store. The guy said, we got rid of them. We got rid of a few of them for you. You know, and y'all still not satisfied.
Yeah.
It's like the things that they tore up in the neighborhood, they tore down the CVS, but did they tell you that this one black woman who got four pharmacies on that same two on that block and one on North Avenue, like within a mile radius, three black pharmacies. So they did burn down CVS, and they did leave
her
pharmacy.
And had the other ones to go to, that's right.
Yeah, but they didn't burn her property. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So it's like they are not missing the liquor stores. They're not missing the Chinese joints. And then these people who say that, they're the very same people who wouldn't even send their own children down into that neighborhood to hang out, to play, or have a meal.
Right.
And if you think about it, here it is. I was raised on chicken boxes. My daughter was raised on chicken boxes, and now I got a grandbaby coming into this world. And it's got to stop somewhere. It's generation after generation after generation.
Right.
This was a long time in the making. And even President Obama says this has been a slow-rolling crisis. And when he said that, I took it as him saying, what the hell took y'all so long? And that's what I got out of that. What the hell took y'all so long? He made all his points. Another thing I want to say is, people out there, you that watch the media, it's okay to look at the media, but don't take anything that you see in the media into heart. The one thing you saw where the guy was upset with Geraldo. The day before, Geraldo gave him this interview, and it's like press everywhere. It's just as much of them as it is us, because it's press from all over the world that are there. So, you know, everybody is talking to somebody, and they pouring out their heart, and they telling them what they're going through, and they tell them their stripes and their struggles and what they tired of and what they want to change and, you know, positivity or, you know, and those people never get aired. I spoke to 3 different reporters when I was down there. Nothing I said got aired because I didn't, because I had too much. And you know what? When I handed him back the mic, he said, oh, my God, I love you. So passionate. I love your passion. Never made it on air.
And then he put
That's
me on the mic and had the nerve to show mine and not hers, you know?
And she was on there. Yeah,
and
she
was on
there like
ignorant and retarded as I want to be.
Right. That's what she was. She was like a deer caught in a headlight. You know, she's not a camera person, any personality anyway. So she was like, like looking for me to come save her. So I go to save her. Yeah. And, you know, I'm I'm an activist, really. Like, I've been out there, both of us have, since last Saturday, since it first kicked off. Another interesting thing that I like to share is that you don't see on CNN is two things, really. The first one is when this first started on Saturday, they started a march from the police department that the police officers that murdered Mr. Gray. They started from there, and they marched to City Hall. When they got to City Hall, it was regular, just the regular natives, regular guys, probably in their early 20s or whatever. These ones that Miss Blake refers to as thugs, you know. Well, usually at rally speaking on the mic, it's usually Al Sharpton or some peace organizer or this. That. No, it was the residents of the neighborhood. They got on the microphone. He said, you know, we sick and we tired of this. You know, he didn't hold back. He wasn't too loud. He was, like, really monotone about it, really calm. Mm-hmm. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to cut down your flag, and then we're going to head to Camden Yards, and we're going to shut the city down. They lowered the American flag. They cut it off, and then they pulled out a black and white one that was the same size and the same material and everything. Thugs don't come prepared with stuff like that. Like, where did that come from? Do you know they put it on it? They put that black and white American flag up. It looked just like the American flag. It was just black and white. They put that flag up and raised it half staff. Like, it brought tears in my eyes. It brought tears in my eyes because the average person, and see, CNN never showed that. And then after they did that, they moved out, and that's when it started. But basically they were saying, you know, this is war. In the beginning, they took the flag down and planted their flag. You know, in war, you plant your flag. Yeah. The winner plants their flag.
Exactly.
So they were declaring war right then and there.
Exactly.
CNN never brought you that.
I told to the people when I told them, I said, Baltimore, this ain't no regular thing right here. You think you saw on Ferguson or anything. This is war.
Somebody
right
asked
here.
Me somebody I went to high school with.
This ain't nothing you've seen before, ever. Even in reporters that was out there said, this is nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
Absolutely.
Let me tell
you
something.
Know,
like
I said, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, you go ahead.
I'm just so passionate about it. I had talked to this girl that I went to school with. We were talking on the internet, on Facebook, going back and forth. And she said, "Well, what's gonna be so different about Baltimore than Ferguson?" I said, "Baby, it's a whole different mentality."
Uh-huh.
And now,
exactly.
You know, soon as it kicked off, like after about 2 or 3 days, I had to get back on that same post. I said, what did I tell you about the mentality the other day? She said, girl, you hit it right on the head. But I just wanted, before I give the phone back to Booth, I just wanted to say one more thing that CNN
I'm
not bringing
on the line with
thing.
You, Boo. You ain't got to get it. I'm here. I hear you.
Well,
she in the other room. I'm in this room. I'm in my office. She in the other office.
My whole thing is I want people to stop watching the news, or if they do, just kind of keep up with it. It's hard to stop watching it altogether because they're around the clock coverage, and you feel like you might miss something if you're so passionate and if you're not out there. Like, I've been out here. We've been out here since last Saturday, and I have not seen it on the news, like any of it, hardly on the news at all. But another thing they don't show is that this is very organized. Don't think that this is something where people are here and we're just going crazy. Somebody is working with the people who knows the laws, because once the guys found out that they could not use deadly force, that's why so many officers wind up in shock trauma. They got to fight. They got to really fight. It's a civilian warfare, so they got to fight.
Wow.
They cannot use deadly force, because in a whole crowd of people, this protesting, this women, this children, you know what I mean? You cannot. So that's out. So it was it's a gun line. When you see the officers standing across the street, that's the gun line. And when we stand and face them, that's outside. Under no circumstances can they cut across outside. Can they park their vehicles on the outside? They can't walk through outside. They can't stand on outside. Our side is off limits. And I know the people watching, never knew that. Like, this is really declared like a war ground, and it had, and the same rules apply that if you were in Iran or Iraq or overseas or wherever they having wars at. So
the laws of engagement and stuff. When you're dealing with war and stuff, it's the laws of engagement. Like, they know that, and the good thing about it is, like we talked about prior to this conversation, knowing your laws, knowing what you can and cannot do. And this is why Baltimore people have the upper hand in this situation.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Somebody is helping. Just like another thing you see on the news, you know, it was all these fires and all this property burnt down. A lot of people saw the perfect opportunity to burn their own property. Believe
yes,
that.
Yes,
a lot of cars.
Perfect opportunity to rob themselves, burn down their own shit, and collect that insurance. Please believe
insurance
me. Some little kids do not have it in them to be running around burning down shit. If that was the case, they would have been burning down some shit. Shit would have been burned
exactly.
down.
Exactly.
The little kids ain't doing that.
They're
not doing that.
No, I had almost even thought that it might have been like the whole conspiracy theory. Like it wasn't us at all, especially like a $16 million senior citizen home had got burnt down. And I know that wasn't the children. Like that's not even their mind frame. That's all they're worried about is getting hair and sneakers. Like that was the biggest.
Ladies, on that note, due to the time schedule or whatever, you guys definitely told us the real, because a lot of stuff you guys just touched on, we didn't know at all, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
absolutely.
And you guys are telling the real, and the people need to know that. That's why we constantly give out the feedback. When Boots puts up stuff, we repost it, and a lot of people are thanking us for giving out the real, because CNN's not going to show this stuff. They're not going to show
absolutely.
The camaraderie of Baltimore. And, you know, words for the wise, you know, don't always believe everything you see. Know the people of Baltimore. We've been to Baltimore. We know how the people of Baltimore rock. You might see here, they have nothing but brotherly love down there in Baltimore. If something come out, everybody in Baltimore come out for it. You know what I mean? It's something
right.
different. So my thing is like that. You know, this is the People's Voice, Lush Radio Online. We salute the people. Hood Punishes DVD. Check them out, you know what I'm saying? She's in the streets everywhere covering everything, you know, and she's definitely out in Baltimore being an activist, reporting the news. She's going to keep us updated on what's going on. Shout out to Donnie Glover from Baltimore News. Boots, how do people check you out on social media?
Huh?
How do they check you out on social media, Boots?
Oh, okay, my bad, I didn't hear you. Just go to Google Hood Punishers. I should pop up everywhere. I'm kind of on the map right now. So you type in
definitely.
Hood Punishers, HOODPUNISHERS, and I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm everywhere. You know, so
that's what it is.
That's that simple. Google Hood Punishers, or just go to Instagram and Facebook and type it in, and you'll find me.
Definitely. Definitely support my sister, Boo. Support everybody. That's out there. We
absolutely.
Will continue to pray from Baltimore and keep you guys updated on what's going on. And also, there was an earthquake actually that also happened too, Sandra. Touch on that real quick. What it was? Where again, Sandra? The earthquake?
An earthquake? Oh, gosh, where is? I believe it was in Indonesia. I believe that.
Yeah, it was an earthquake that happened. Millions of
mm-hmm.
couple of people died and stuff. You know, prayers go out to them. But on that note, you know, Age of Ultron is out this week with the Avengers. So check that out this week. And we definitely love you guys. Continue
fight
to
tomorrow.
Follow
check
us.
Check out the fight tomorrow.
Also check out the fight. Manny Pacquiao.
Floyd Mayweather.
Where the fight party at? We in the building. Lush Radio Online, man. We don't do it for us. We do it for you, the People's Voice. And we out of here, man. Later.
Later, baby.
Peace. I just wish we all understood the beauty of music. Just listen.
got a purpose. So when I don't